This time we came back and the weather turned prettier here this week than it was where we were at last week. So praise God. We praise God for it. It's just been a blessing. Amen. You know, it's good to be thankful for every little thing. If you hear the birds singing, give thanks. If you hear the kids playing in the distance, give thanks. You hear the choo-choo train here in Alvin, give thanks. If you have ears to hear, give thanks. Amen. Every little thing that's a blessing to your life, you should give thanks for it. Don't take any of it for granted. It's all a blessing. Amen. And we're grateful. We're grateful for this season. We're grateful for the relief from the extreme summer heat. We're grateful that we made it through hurricane season with no hurricanes in Houston. Praise God. Amen. So much to give thankful, to give thanks for in Jesus. And we don't take it for granted. I'm thankful tonight that the hostages were released on Monday. How about you? Isn't that a great thing? You know, for the last 2 years, as any time I've thought about them, it's almost been too much, too overwhelming for my heart to imagine being underground and not able to see the sun and living in those dank conditions. You know, they were just horrible conditions. It's inhumane. But for them to come out into the light of day, I saw one man the other day on the news, and they were showing him. He was sitting there, and he was in the sunlight. He was outdoors, and an army nurse or whatever was attending to him. But you could just see the look on his face, like, I'm just going to sit here for a minute and look up at the sun. Amen. He's just soaking it in. Did you? I don't know if anyone else saw that, but I was just like, he's eating it up, and I knew they would when they come out of that ground. Praise God. We're so grateful. Amen. And it's a new day for Israel. I know it's a temporal political peace. It's not anything to rest our total hopes on. But for the moment, rockets are not flying. Amen. The people of Israel have something to rejoice about, and we give thanks with them. Praise the Lord. Well, I just wanted to share a word tonight with you, a continuation of a couple weeks ago. Appreciate Brother Ben stepping in for us last week while we're out. And I didn't get a chance yet to listen to that message, but I'm sure it blessed you, as it always does. And so appreciate his gifting in the Lord. Turn to Luke chapter 6. I'm just going to look at some scriptures with you tonight as we continue a series on receiving from God. Luke chapter 6 in your Bibles. We're just going to hit a few scriptural references that kind of give us some direction in this way. And let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to teach us. Lord, we thank you that you're our teacher here tonight. We stand here ready to learn, ready to listen, ready to grow in you, Lord. We thank you that you're helping that person turn that car off right now so we can have peace. Thank you, Jesus. Help them find their key. And Lord, we just thank you right now that by this Spirit you teach us and make us, Lord, more skilled at receiving than we've ever been before in you as we receive the word with meekness in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. They found it. Luke 6:19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Crowds sought to touch Jesus. Why? Because something went out of him. The King James Version calls it virtue. Some of your translations may call it something like power, right? Power went out from him. I think I have my dual Bible here. It's 19, right. Power. Some translations say power. What else do we have in the house tonight? 6:19. What else? Does it say anything? Any other translation say anything different than power and virtue? No? Okay. Well, that's good enough for me. How about you? Virtue. You know, even in the King James, that word virtue, which really, really would have been better translated power, but I like virtue because in a sense, Jesus was the pure, spotless Lamb of God. Amen? So everywhere he went, not only power flowed from him, but literally the nature, the divine nature, the virtue of God, the character of God came out of him. And those two are probably, I would say it this way, they're divinely linked. Amen? The virtuous character of Jesus and the power of Jesus. And many times I think when we think about receiving or ministering power to somebody, we may feel a bit hesitant because we think, oh, I'm less than virtuous today. Right? I lost my temper an hour ago, or I got a little road rage while I was driving in Houston, so I don't feel very virtuous right now. Don't feel like there's much in me I have to give, but I'm telling you, it's not you, and it's not your being redeemed soul. It's your spirit, man, which is born again and is as pure and righteous as Jesus himself. So that when people touch you, in a sense, they are touching the virtue of Jesus. Amen? And so virtue went out of Jesus. In the Greek, that word is the Greek word dunamis, which we all know relates to power. And that, and I want to just encourage you tonight, that goes out of you and I. Say, virtue goes out from me. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost in you. Amen. It's that new creation in you. That's the virtue of God that touches people. That's what people need. They don't need you. They don't need me, right? They don't need our opinions. Be careful when you get in a social circle. You don't just join in the hum of opinion giving. Because what humans need day to day is not another opinion thrown in the mix. What they need is virtue. What they need is power. And you and I have it to give. Even when we don't feel like we do, we have it. We have something. Say, I have it. You have it. You have virtue. You have power. It goes out from you. And I want to encourage you with the scriptures tonight that to stimulate your thinking toward this idea that a river goes out of you and you are open to receiving the river to you. Amen. We did a little bit of that just a moment ago. Turn over now to Acts chapter 9. I'm going to keep it moving here. Acts chapter 9 and verse 11 and 12. This is the conversion of Paul, Saul becoming Paul, the apostle. Acts chapter 9, verse 11. God is talking to the man who won Paul to the Lord. The man, well, I should say the man that confirmed it all. Ananias. Wow. What a privilege, huh? And to think that he was hesitant. Isn't that interesting? Right? If you know the chapter, he had an argument with God. Hey, God, I know about this man named Saul, and he's been persecuting those Christians. I don't think I want this calling, Lord. But the Lord said, you go. All right. So we pick up in verse 11. Acts chapter 9, 11, and the Lord said to him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Now skip down to verse 17. Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands on Saul. He said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou, underline this part or highlight it, please, if you have your pens, that thou mightest receive. Say that out loud with me. That thou mightest receive. That's very important for you to highlight. Why do we lay hands on people? Why did Ananias lay his hands on Saul? That he might receive. Amen. That's what happens when you and I lay hands on people. They receive. That thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So when you lay your hands on people, God has made a way for you and I to take this virtue, this power that's within us, and transfer it to people. And how is it done? By the laying on of hands. Hold up your hands right now. Both hands in front of you. Look at these things. These are conduit. This is the conduit the Lord's given you to transfer what? Well, King James, virtue. In the Greek, dunamis, which means power, right? Virtue. But, you know, virtue, I like that King James word because, you know, we're dealing with a world that people are out there, they're sinning like there's no tomorrow, and they're like filthy pigs. I'm not saying they are filthy pigs, but they feel that way. And when you and I lay our hands on them, not only can they receive physical healing, but we're giving them an opportunity to, for the first time ever, to be touched with virtue. Isn't that something? To think that not only power to heal their physical condition, but the virtue, the very divine nature of God is flowing out from our conduit to them in that moment. That's what they're receiving. Virtue, power. Amen? So I want to remind you tonight that we receive from the touch when hands are laid on us. Amen? Now, this is a two-way thing. The minister has a responsibility to, for his or her faith, whoever's up here behind the mic, by the podium, ministering to y'all, they have a responsibility to exert their faith for the release of that virtue. But you and I have a responsibility when we come up here for prayer to receive that very life of God. Amen? It's a two-way thing. If you come up here and you're thinking about what you're going to have for dinner and you just kind of stand there and, you know, yeah, do your thing, preacher, I can guarantee you, no matter how much virtue is coming out of me, it will drop like electricity to a rubber glove. I mean, it's going to be dead. It's going to be nullified in you if you don't bring your faith with you. So bring your faith. Amen. Bring your faith. When you're having prayer, when you're having hands laid on you, bring your faith to the table. And then the power will be transferred and power will be received. Amen. So power is received from the touch. It's also received how? By the spoken word. Power is transferred to your life and to mine when we hear the spoken word of God, the revelation of God. 5 years ago, we were in service, and Miss Beverly just sent me this the other day. It's on my phone. I got the picture. She took notes in that service. We were in the upper room at the college, S-223, was it, or 227? I don't remember. Whatever it was. We called it the upper room. 227, that's right. Yeah, it was we called it the upper room. And they had us there temporarily between the Nolan Ryan Center and the nurses' part of the building. And we were up there, and that's where the Williams started attending. That is a very special memory in my mind. Y'all started coming to church there. And so we were up in the upper room, and it was February or March going into the COVID year. It was 2020. And I was reading the scriptures, and in the scriptures we were reading, it was 2 Corinthians 9:8, I believe it was, and it said, the first five words said, "You will be made rich." And it's like the Holy Ghost shined a spotlight on my Bible and on those first five words like I'd never seen before. And I stopped in the middle of my sermon. I said, "The Lord's saying that to us. We will be made rich." Amen. And I don't know if y'all remember, but it seemed like in 2021, it seemed like the government gave checks to people. Did y'all get a refund check of some sort? I did. We were made rich. Weren't even expecting. How often does the government give the people money, right? And we were made overflowing by the blessing of the government that year. And God fulfilled it. And as I've told you before, that year was our church's up to that point, our church's biggest giving year was 2020. Miraculous. And we were away from each other for months, right? You remember when the closures happened, the college closed their doors to us for a bit. We had to do parking lot church. And then we came back together until October. Anyways, so what happened? The word of the Lord came. When the word is spoken by revelation, you and I receive it when we do what? In here, when we say amen. It's not just amen out loud, but that's important too. Your verbal response to hearing the word is an acknowledgement and it's a receptivity. Amen? But inwardly, at least, you need to say amen in here. You need to say yes. In California, they say, "Wow." That's what they say. They don't say amen. They're not like Texans. They don't say amen. They say, "Wow." And that means they got it. You'll see. It's true. It really is. We went to Bethel Church years ago, and I was looking around the room and like, "Where's the amen?" They weren't amen, and they were wowing. But that meant they were receiving. One way or another, you got to receive it. Amen? So that's why it's important. When you hear the spoken word, if it's revelation to your heart, and you're receiving, all of a sudden you know something in here like, That God's given me something in that message. God's given me something in that word. You need to reach out and receive it. Take it. And you take it with your amen. You take it with your yes, or in the case of Californians, you take it with your wow. Okay, Mark chapter 6. Turn over there real quick. Mark 6, verse 1. This is Jesus ministering in his own hometown. It's a little different from Luke 4's account of it, but Mark 6, verse 1, "And he went out from thence, he came into his own country, his disciples followed him, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?'" Verse 3, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So Jesus had earthly sisters. Don't know if you knew that, but I don't think their names are listed. "And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, 'A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching." Two or three things I want you to see here. Number one, of course, they were focused on his what? His humanity. And this is the challenge. Anytime you get up to minister, especially before your relatives, your friends, or people who have known you for a while, and especially among your own family, your own kin. You know, you got a relative that's sick in their body, and you offer to lay hands on them. They're going to look at you with one of two responses. They're going to say, "Yes, there's power in you that I need." Or they're going to go, "Oh, well, who are you? The son of the carpenter, you know, you're the carpenter's son. You're the brother of so-and-so." They can look at your humanity. And that's what they did with Jesus. They were focused on his humanity. And so they missed the power. They missed the power. Verse 5, "He could do there no mighty work." I like the King James word in there. "He could do there no mighty." God, anytime God's power is released, you can always count on this. It's going to be mighty. Right? It may not come with spotlights and, you know, fireworks and outward things that we see with our natural eyes. But when God moves, it's mighty. Amen? Say that with me. When God moves, it's mighty. Yes, it is. One Bible scholar said this. He said that actually in these verses, if you study the Greek out, it implies that Jesus was only able to heal people who were in a coma. Yeah. Why? Because if they're in a coma, they can't reject him for his humanity. Right? But everybody else who had an ailment, and especially serious ailments, they were looking at him like, who are you? You're the carpenter. We know who you are. You're Joseph's son. You're the brother of Judah and James and these sisters of his. They were looking at his humanity, but the people in a coma couldn't see that. So he could lay his hand on a few people like that that were so far off in their illness that they couldn't reject him for his humanity. Isn't that something? But Jesus came. He brought what to his hometown? He brought power. He brought mighty works, and they nullified it all. They nullified it all. Listen, you and I need to get real good, real skillful at looking past the humanity of whoever's ministering. Because it can short circuit your receptivity. It really can. You know, you can receive from anybody. If you can get past their humanity. I've learned this. I've built this muscle up over the years, especially with people, if their presentation annoys me. I've been around people who they don't talk the way I think they should talk. As far as their accent, I'm talking about their humanity, right? But maybe their voice, the tone of their voice annoys me, or the way they do things annoys me. It doesn't matter. If they're ministering in the name of Jesus, they've got something to give me if I'll receive it. And the key thing there is for you and I to stay open to the virtue, the power that's within them, not be hung up on their humanity like these people were in Jesus' hometown. Amen? I'm going to have Alan put a scripture up here on the slide behind me, Hebrews 11:11. This is in the Passion Translation. Let's look at this together. Sarah's faith embraced God's miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing, for the authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness. Boy, that's good, isn't it? She tapped into his faithfulness. When we come up for prayer, when a minister stands here before you to bring the goodness and blessing of God to your life, you need to tap it. You need to tap it. And look there. Sarah's faith embraced. It reached out and took hold of. Picture a big bear hug, something that clamps on. You know, a little kid, kids do this a lot, don't they? Little kids do this when mom or dad walk through them. They might grab onto their legs, just clamp onto their legs. That's that picture of her faith embracing God's miracle power. And she took hold of it. I think Terry did a teaching on this one time, talked about how her faith seized the power to conceive. It literally reached out and lay hold of God's promise regarding that child, Isaac. Amen. She reached out and seized it. She took hold of it with a bear hug and she embraced it. This is the kind of faith that we should reach out with. Anytime someone's going to pray for you, you know, husbands, wives, you're not feeling well, and you look at your spouse and say, would you pray for me? Man, the minute they lay hands on you, the minute they reach out for you, you be like Sarah. You reach out and seize it. Seize that power. Tap it with your faith and believe that when they're done praying, you're going to be better. You're going to be healed because virtue is flowing from that person that's praying for you. Amen. I like this quote from Smith Wigglesworth. He said, there never was a man who felt saved before he first believed. There never was a man who felt saved before he first did what? Believed. What comes first? Belief, faith. Then comes the feelings, the good stuff, right? The icing on the cake, if you will. But if it doesn't come, just eat your cake without icing, all right? John 11:40. Look at that verse with me. John, flip over two Gospels to John 11:40. That's where Smith Wigglesworth took this idea from. John 11:40. It's the chapter where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And in verse 40 there, he said unto her, John 11:40. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? That's one of my daily scriptures. One day I was struggling with some deep, deep unbelief in my soul. And I was wrestling. I was like Jacob with the angel. I was having a wrestling match with God over something. And I went for a drive out in the country, got alone. And as I was walking back to my car from that place I was at, it's like an angel whispered over my shoulder this verse. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? How do we see the glory of God in our life, saints? We believe first. If you believed, you will see. If you believe, you will see. If you believe, you will what?
See
the glory of God. But the believing comes first. That's what Smith Wigglesworth was getting at. Nobody ever experienced the power of God unless they believed first. Amen? 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. And I'll wind it down with this. 2 Timothy. Wow, world's shortest sermon in the month of October. Wow, that's amazing. 2 Timothy 3:5. I'm going to read it in the King James Version. Paul's talking about in the last days there's going to be a people, and this is one of the qualities of these people that you want to avoid. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Look at it here on the screen in the Good News Translation. They will hold to the outward form of our religion, Christianity, but they will reject its real power. Wow. The God's Word translation says it this way. They won't let its power change them. There's that other person with the horn. That's a brother, twin brother. Help them, Lord, find their key. It's the night for lost keys. Okay. So it's saying here, there's a people that in the last days won't let God's power change them. What is that power? It's the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to make us holy. God forbid that we should have the Holy Spirit living in us and not allow that holy power to change us. One of you needs to flip your car key, I think. I think it's us. I just realized it's as close to the building as probably one of ours. The Holy Spirit lives in us to make us holy, right? It's an easy answer on that one, right? The Holy Spirit's in us to make us holy. The virtue of God comes into us to change us. Amen. And the Bible says here, avoid people who have an outward form of Christianity, but they're not really letting God's power have its effect in their life. Oh, that may that never be said of us. May it be that every time we come to church, we come with an expectation. I'm going to be changed when I leave there tonight. Amen. I'm coming and I'm leaving changed. I'm going to leave transformed somehow. If I was a little bit sad, I'm going to leave here mega glad. Amen. If I came questioning or wondering or in confusion, I'm going to leave with clarity. Amen. If I came with aches and pains, I'm going to leave with free mobility, pain-free mobility in Jesus. Amen. We should never come to church without an expectation of change. Why? Because the power of God is here to affect that change in us. And we need only be like Sarah and tap it. Amen? That's a concept I think we can all relate to, that word tap, you know? We understand how a tap works. Literally stick it in the side of a barrel and let the root beer flow. Root beer, mind you. Root beer. Tap that thing. When you come to church, you should come ready to tap. It may seem selfish, but it's actually God's design for his people to be very good at receiving, to be like Sarah and be very good at taking, tapping the power of God that's here for us. Amen. So I want you to grow tonight in confidence in releasing the power and receiving the power. Releasing the power. When you lay hands on someone, just believe the minute I put my hand on them, something's being transferred. Virtue is going out from me. I may not feel very virtuous today, but virtue's leaving me now. My hands laid on them in faith is transferring virtue, power to that life I'm praying for, that person I'm praying for. By the way, I changed my strategy recently, and I'm yet to try this out, but I want to encourage you in this. When you approach people that are in the public arena, and I had always said it this way. I'd always say something like, you know, if I felt far enough in the conversation, I would say something like, is there something I can pray for you about? And lately, when I've asked that question, I've gotten a lot of answers similar to this. Oh, no, I'm good. You know, pray for world peace, or, you know, I'm good. You know, it's some silly answer like, you know, pray for me to do good every day, or some silly, you know, very vague, non-specific answer. So I'm changing my question. It's no longer going to be, is there something I can pray for you about? It's, may I pray for you? Why? Because I believe if they'll just open the door a little bit, because people are very slow to receive many times. It's surprising. But it's true. People are, human nature is, I'm okay on my own. It's that independent thing like we rose up in the garden. But human nature is sometimes resistant to receiving. But if you'll just say, may I pray for you? If they just open the door enough to give you permission, then and then you proceed with the next question, may I place my hand on you? Oh, it's all over then, buddy. Right? Because little do they know, they may think you're going to play some mamby-pamby little, you know, priestly prayer from the church down the road that has no power. But that's your opportunity to transfer virtue, power, dunamis to that life. And you don't have to pray according to what you think they expect you to pray. That's your opportunity. Then just release the power. Amen? That's just a strategy change for me. I'm not going to ask them anymore. Is there something I can pray for you about? No, it's, may I pray for you? May I pray for you? One last verse in Psalm 63. Would you turn there real quick? We're just going to read this. You know, it's the prayer of my heart for the younger generation to taste the power of God. They must have the power of God when they come to church. Amen? Church should never be boring. If God's not moving, why would we be surprised that kids don't want to come to church? Youth don't want to come to church. Young people don't, young couples don't want to come to church. If there's no power, if lives aren't going to be being changed, amen? We're not here just to tell good stories from a book. We're not here to, you know, read a nice lofty tale from the old dusty Bible. No, we're here to tap the power of God, amen? That's why we come. And this generation deserves to have the power of God. We're not a church that's going to be a form of godliness. We're not going to deny the power. We're going to tap the power every time we get together. Amen. Psalm 63 says it. O God, you are my God. Verse 1. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary, and I beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. Listen, our children will grow up praising the Lord if they see God in the sanctuary, if they see God at church, if they see his power in operation and demonstration, if they taste his love that is better than life. Amen. I'm going to go a few minutes over. Just give me the liberty here. I'm not going to go too long, but give me a few minutes. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I'll praise you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I'll remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you're my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name and will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Amen? Amen. This is our heritage in the Lord, that even in a dry and weary land. I got to tell you, you know, years and years ago, Terry and I have encountered a lot of the power of God in churches that we've been a part of over the years. And it's really a strange phenomenon to come full circle to where we are today, where we're actually pastoring. And so we're the ones kind of spearheading the move of God and the work of God in a community. And I got to tell you, I honestly feel like this generation, where we're at, it's like while we were sleeping, something happened. I can't explain it, but in the last 30 years, I don't know what's happened in church, but I know where we're going. I know what we're wanting. I know what we won't be satisfied without. And it's the power of God. We have to have it. And there are lots of churches. There are lots of big churches out there. We've been a part of one, what's called a seeker church, where everything's happy. They got donuts in the lobby on Sunday morning, and good music, nice comfy chairs, pretty sanctuary, and no power. Oh, God forbid. We're living in a time, like this verse said in the opening verses, in a dry and weary land. People are so thirsty for the power of God. We have to have it. We must have it in this day and hour. Amen. Stand together with me. I was watching a church in Singapore the other day on YouTube, and they had a prayer line, had 300-400 people, must have been, over the course of the 40 minutes or so that minister was praying for people. And I'll bet you out of seven, to, you know, out of say every 10 people that were prayed for, 6 to 7 of them went down under the power. And these were young people. I'm talking 10, 11 years old on up to 20s, early 30s, young people. They had learned. It made my heart really yearn. I thought, they have learned how to receive. They know how to receive from the power of God. This is a church where they've been taught. And so that's why I feel just this urge to teach us and encourage us and provoke you to receptivity. And at every turn, take advantage of the opportunity, any chance you get to receive from the Lord. You're driving somewhere, instead of turning the radio on from point A to point B, take a few minutes and say, I just receive from you, Jesus. And drink in his love and get good at, skilled at receiving from the Lord. Amen. This is our heritage. It's our divine heritage in the Lord to receive from him and then to release that power to others. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Come on, let's just reach out right now and receive. Lift your hands to heaven. Lord, we thank you that your power is here even tonight. That we don't have to leave here unchanged. That we can leave here changed, renewed in you. Made new in every arena, Lord, of our life. We just lay it all before you right now in surrender. With our hands lifted high. We say, change us, Jesus. Change us. Touch us with your power now. Touch us with your power now. Flow in us, Holy Spirit. We will be your faithful conduit. We will be yielded vessels to you. Come now in this generation. Come in this hour and fill us with your power. Fill us with your glory, Lord. And make us those who will release the rivers of God to a dry and barren land out there in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be filled tonight. Amen. Just receive it. At every turn, receive the love of God and go out filled and go to a world and realize the people out there are crying and yearning for what we've sensed, even tonight in church, even what we've tasted of God's presence. The world is crying for it. They would give their right arm for what you and I have felt here tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. So take it to them. Be faithful. Amen. Be bold. Praise God. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Have a great week.